evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Hoopers Podcast. I am your host, president of the Hoopers, headband warrior, Ben Roberts. And my guest today, man who goes by many names, Kevlar. There must be some others that I can't quite.
Montana,
yeah. Because you're from Montana.
Because I'm from Montana, yeah. That's a pretty popular one.
It's Kevin Michael, right? Grover?
Kevin Lee Grover.
Lee,
yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
KLG? That's what Randy
Is that another
me.
Nickname?
That was another one. Yeah, I think Randy would call me KLG.
That never caught on.
No.
Clearly.
That's okay.
It's Kevin Lee Grover. You just seem like such a Michael to me.
We can change it.
You look like a Michael.
We were talking about that today, actually.
Were you?
Yeah, what other first names we could go by? Like,
and you came up with Michael.
Well, no, Michael was not one of them.
Oh.
I said basically any other like basic white boy name I probably could pull off.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But then people thought that I wasn't a Chris, which I agree with. Yeah. I said Bryce.
No,
like, can I pull off a Bryce?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I've never heard of that name.
Really?
It's a fully American name.
Okay.
You are from America, we should say.
I'm from America.
Right? From Missoula, Montana.
Grew up in Missoula, Montana.
And now you live in
New York City.
New York City.
Where I met you.
Where you met me.
Yeah.
The big apple, right?
Do we know why it's called the Big Apple?
Do you know?
No, I should know.
Oh. I want to say it's like some kind of old explorer thing, right?
Okay.
Do you think?
Maybe.
Like, they got there, and then all they had was apples.
It's like something. A giant apple orchard.
Must be something like that, right?
It has to be.
All names come from somewhere. And you're from the big sky.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you impressed that I know that?
I'm impressed.
I got it from my facts.
You did
my
some good research list. Before this.
Yeah, Montana is the big sky. Why is it called the big sky?
That one's straightforward. It is what it says.
Because it has a big sky.
The sky looks massive in Montana.
Because there's no mountains?
Well, so, I mean, Montana's interesting, right? Two-thirds of
Let's
it...
Let's hope so, because we've got to squeeze an hour-long podcast out.
We can do this. So, the western third is in the Rocky Mountains. So, those are, like, the gorgeous... When you think of Montana in picture, I think that's what a lot of people picture is those giant,
mountains.
Jagged mountains.
Right.
But then the eastern two-thirds of Montana are in the plains.
And the plains are low.
Are low and fields. Flat and no mountains, yeah.
Right.
So the sky looks like it goes on forever.
Okay.
But I would even argue in the mountains, the sky does feel extra big. And
so you live in one of those places where like you load your camping gear into the U-Haul, pickup,
into
right?
Into the pickup, yeah.
And then you drive off into a cornfield somewhere.
Mm-mm. No cornfields. That's like in the... Well, the cornfields are Illinois, I think.
Oh, okay.
We have lots of fields, but I don't know what the main...
Okay, you drive off into a field and you lie down on the back of a truck and you look up in the sky and think about your destiny and what is love and stuff like that.
Switch the field with the top of the mountain and you've got it.
You drive up the top of the mountain?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Like old logging roads.
Okay. So how is it mountainous and also... Here's what
Montana's massive. It's the fourth largest state.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That wasn't on your fact sheet?
Well, what was on my fact sheet? I have some Montana facts, and I guess I'm bringing up the first one right now. What was on my fact sheet was that the area of Montana is slightly larger than Japan. Does that ring true?
That does ring true. Also, fun fact is that Montana is on the same lateral as Japan. So growing up, we would have pen pals in Japan.
Really?
Because our schools were on the same exact latitudinal line.
Why is that? Why would you have pen pals? Because you're on the same latitudinal line?
I have no idea. We would do a whole... We spent literally 6 weeks studying Japan in middle school.
And what did you... Is it all good?
Yeah.
They're doing some crack work up there?
Great work. More history, I'd say. So,
oh, okay.
Less current events.
And what is their history?
This was 7th grade. Right. So, okay. Probably not going to recall.
Fair enough. And I don't know if you remember, but in 1941, they orchestrated an attack on your beloved
Pearl Harbor. Yes.
Yeah. So, how do you feel about that?
Pretty
sickening, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think whenever anyone attacks another
an unprovoked
country.
Attack.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah. I've often had the debate with people that 9/11 is the maddest thing that ever happened. And some people say, no, Pearl Harbor was.
I've never heard that comparison.
Well, let's give it a go right now. I think Pearl Harbor is not that mad. Not, because it's just an army attacking another army. Happens all the time. It's happened for thousands of years.
Right, and they were attacking a base that technically was more capable of defending itself.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
How are the Twin Towers supposed to defend themselves?
Yeah.
With their double glazing. It's two horrendous tragedies, we should say.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And, Japan, to be fair to them, have behaved since then, as far as I'm aware. Right?
Well, our retaliation, I think, was...
It was devastating.
Very devastating.
Yeah. And, but they just kind of took it.
Well, and now we still have pen pals there, so...
Yeah, I guess that's... And the kids that you were writing to didn't mention it? They didn't mention that you murdered their grandfathers?
Never came up in the letters.
Never came up. I wonder if they're just... Because they must know, you know? I wonder if they're just brooding... That's how I feel about the Germans, that every time you meet a German, they must know.
Like, at that age, I guess we are studying history.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember, maybe it, like, hadn't even gotten to that yet in your studies.
And you didn't know about the, That's fair enough. But I think Britain are obsessed with World War II as a thing. Are America obsessed with World War II as well? We talk about World War II every day. We talk about Hitler, especially on this podcast. Talk about Hitler and the Jews whenever we can.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is this a passion point of yours?
Yeah, I think so, because it's an interesting thing that happened, right?
Yeah. Did you ever go to the Holocaust Museum?
Where's that?
In D.C.
Oh, in D.C.?
Yeah.
We did go to D.C. at one point, didn't we? On our way to... that's where Court lives, right?
Yeah.
And I went to the Lincoln thing?
Yeah.
Is that near the Holocaust thing?
Yeah, that's same city.
Oh, right, so I probably went there. I don't know.
You'd have remembered it if you went.
I went to some Holocaust museum in England somewhere, and I went to a concentration camp in Germany.
Which one did you go to?
I don't know. I can't remember. But all the same, you know, same stuff happened there.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, sparks of... Well, unless you count the German experiments.
Right.
What do you make of that? That they apparently... the biggest advancements of medicine happened... During the Holocaust.
Is that true?
Yeah. Ever. That's what people tell me.
Huh.
So was it all worth it?
I mean, no. Silver lining?
Uh-huh. But think of the millions of people who might have died if we hadn't made those medicinal discoveries and advancements from those gruesome experiments.
Well, I guess it's how you evaluate it. Do the ends justify the means?
Mm. Yeah, and that's what I'm asking you. Do they?
Yeah,
they do.
Well, no, I know that is what you're asking me. I'm gonna say no,
because
I feel like we could have gotten those discoveries without that.
Okay. Yeah. Right? You mean eventually?
Like humane testing.
Yeah, it might have taken a couple of years, bit of elbow grease, but we would have got there.
Yeah, I'd like to know, like, what advancements were made, too. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I think just, they used to do, like, lots of, like, drilling into people's brains and stuff, right?
Right.
And, like, trying to change people's eye colors. Probably made a lot of advancements in eye glasses and eyewear and stuff.
Do you think?
They definitely used to test eyes a lot.
They understood the eye better.
They were obsessed with the eye, I believe.
To convert people into the Aryan race.
Yeah, what's that experiment guy called Josef Mengele. He was like the main, you know him?
The head mad scientist?
Yeah, he was the head mad scientist at that big concentration camp, whatever it's called.
Auschwitz.
He's the big science guy. And then he used to drill into people's brains. And then after World War II, he fled to like Argentina or Peru or somewhere, and he was never caught, and he died in the 80s, and it was only after his death that the little farming village he lived in discovered that he was the famous Josef Mengele who was mentioned in the Nuremberg trials.
Was he still continuing his tests in Argentina?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I think
he was. He hung his hat up.
I think he was like living a nice farm life. You know, he could have been in Montana, just plowing the fields.
A lot of crazy people do escape to Montana.
Yeah, there you go.
Like the Unabomber. Wait, wasn't he maybe from Montana?
Was he?
I think so.
Yeah.
There's lots of space in Montana, so I think that's the...
Yeah, he wanted space,
the
right?
The crazies can hide. Yeah, there's places.
Because his thing, the Unabomber's thing was that he hated the hustle and bustle of life. He didn't like the traffic lights and the iPhones and the...
Right.
You get what I'm going. Whereas you traded in the farm work for the hustle and bustle of New York.
I just, like, traded one for the other, right?
And you're happy with your choice?
Yeah. I'm very happy with my
choice. You're more of a hustle and bustle kind of guy.
When I got to the city, I felt like I finally found a city whose energy and pace, like, fit.
That could keep up with you.
Yeah.
You always had, like, an energy and because I think of you as someone who has a lot of get up and go, you know?
Yeah.
I've always admired that about you because I don't have any get up and go. Like, I barely drove over here.
But you did.
But I did.
And you packed all this equipment, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That was really impressive.
I was motivated to do this podcast because, you know, obviously you're in town for a fleeting visit and you're flying out tomorrow morning. So I wanted to pack in a podcast because I was thinking, you know, I could just come along and have a drink with you for an hour. But if I record it, then when you're gone, I can just listen to it over and over and it'll be like you never left.
I'll
just have a conversation with you whenever I feel like it.
You can just watch this or listen to it every night.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we go to bed.
Exactly.
Done.
But you trade, so you
wait, does that mean you're going to sing on this podcast? So
I'm not going
to
sing.
Some vocals to fall asleep to?
No, but we're going to listen to a song. It's not by me. It's a country song.
Oh.
Yeah, that I heard today because you're a country guy.
I do love country music.
I think of you as a, correct me if I'm wrong, I know Montana is like a farming town, but I think of you much like myself as a fella who grew up in a two-horse town. To what extent is that true?
For Montana, I was a city boy, to be honest.
Missoula is like a
more of an urban, an urban space. But Grandma and Grandpa did have a ranch, so I got to spend summers there and hone my cowboy skills.
That was outside of Missoula?
Yeah, their ranch was up Bridger Creek in outside Bozeman, Montana.
I know Bozeman.
Yeah?
Because Jack Bozeman was brutally murdered in Montana.
Was the city named after him?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I was just
wait, was this one of those murder mystery shows you were watching?
I googled murders in Montana.
To get ready for this conversation?
Yeah. And it said some guy called Bozeman was murdered in Montana. So
are you sure it wasn't a guy murdered in Bozeman?
No, his name was something Bozeman.
Okay.
I think.
I'll give it to you.
You know, maybe the mayor. That would be a good story. Because they used to have lots of duels and stuff back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Is Montana a big gun place?
Yeah, there's a huge hunting population.
And if a fella like me, someone who grew up never around guns, came in and said, hey, I've got a good idea, let's take all the guns away, what would be the reaction?
A bunch of really angry ranchers.
Okay.
That would probably not want you to stay in Montana.
That I'd be unable to overpower?
You can start with Grandpa Dick and see if you can win him over.
He seems like a good place to start.
Yeah, he's a tough cookie to sway.
So he wouldn't give up his guns under any circumstances.
Under any circumstances.
So if I implement a buyback, I say like, hey, everyone, I'll pay you $500 or whatever. You just give me your guns and then we'll have some less guns in America. That wouldn't work?
No.
Okay. So what the heck do we do about these all these guns? Or is it not a problem, you don't think?
No, I do think it is a problem. I think it's interesting growing up in Montana because you're exposed to gun culture at a young age, but it's because everyone's families grew up hunting,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think having guns for that purpose is okay. And if families are following the right protocol and like actually have gun cabinets and everything's locked away, I agree with that. And I think that's fine. I think as soon as you're getting into like the semi-automatic weapons, then that doesn't make sense to me because you're never going to use that.
We don't need the quick fire firing ones.
No.
We just need ones for what? Hunting and protecting.
Well, I think it's what are your feelings on the self-defense? Like, should you be able to sleep with a pistol under your bed?
I would like to sleep with a pistol under my bed. But it's because I watch so many murder documentaries that I am always hyper aware of. Like, as soon as I walk into a room, I think, right, murderer could come from there, could come through that window. So as soon as I walk in a room, I kind of think...
You're going to be such a good detective.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Still waiting to hear. But I'm always kind of, as soon as I walk in a room, like, my fists are clenched, and I'm like, right, what could happen here?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like a gun. I just think guns are cool. right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, shoot
people. Have you ever gone to like a shooting range? Have you shot?
No, never. You never took me.
You never came to Montana.
No, that's true. Do they not have them in New York?
Well, I don't have a gun, so we...
I feel like JT went up to Katie's house. Remember Katie?
Yeah.
And what?
I do remember Katie. Sorry.
Yeah, good. Yeah. She listens, I think, to the podcast.
Great. And hi, Katie.
And her brother had like a big automatic or semi-automatic weapon that JT got to play with.
When was the last time you spoke to JT?
He's supposed to be coming to this wedding, but he emailed me like a month ago.
Yeah.
And he said...
Does he listen?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's so hard to get a hold of JT. He's just a mess. And he's like, you know, I think he's unemployed right now, but I think he said he just did a master's, but which I wasn't aware of, even though I thought I'd be talking... I talk to Dave like every day.
Aw. What's Dave doing?
I think he's unemployed as well. I think he just got fired from a farm. I don't want to tell tales out of school. I'm sorry, Dave, if you're listening. Let go of a farm.
Let go of a farm.
Let go from a farm. For
my dreams were too big for...
I don't know. I think the woman who ran it was just weird or something. But anyway, we'll see him in a month or so.
The full update.
Yeah, we can get the full. But he's always messaging me like some liberal hippie stuff about saving the planet and you recycling your plastic cups and stuff like that.
Are you?
I try my best. You know, it's
do you have to recycle in London?
Yeah.
Good.
Well, have to. I mean,
do you get penalized by the city if you
don't? I don't think you get penalized.
But you like sort your trash from your recycling.
I do sort my trash. Well, we have a general waste and then like a recycling bag, a recycling bin.
That the city picks up.
That the city picks up.
Okay.
And I just took mine out back just now.
Did you?
While I was waiting for you to text me.
Wow.
I thought I'll do the bins. Very grown up for me. I did some washing up as well.
Get you adulting.
Yeah. A big adult. Yeah, because I guess last time, back when we were pals, I was a layabout, you know, child. Whereas you were always, kind of always an adult, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
You grew up fast?
Yeah. I always liked hanging out with... I think I got lucky in a couple aspects. My parents always involved us in more adult conversations, I think, at a young age, at the dinner table. So we like got really comfortable speaking to anyone. And then I also had older cousins that I spent a lot of time with, and I always just thought I was their age, and in reality, they were years older than me.
Because you're one of those guys that Britons might not be aware of your kind of person type, which is like... someone who would stop on the side of the road if someone had a flat tire or something like that. Like
that wouldn't happen here?
No, we don't have those in Britain. We don't have those at all. That just doesn't...
You could be the first.
I'm a very surly fella. I don't really have that kind of...
I disagree.
I'm not personable enough.
You spent all my coworkers and they love you.
But it was me making like surly jokes. I'm not good at like, hey, I love your dress or whatever, like, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not good at like, I'm only good at like, you know, hey, this is stupid because, and then sometimes people laugh and then I have to look mean when I say it to be in character.
To deliver the line.
Yeah, the character.
You could be an actor.
The character I've chosen is, but they're not happy, are they?
No.
Are you happy in New York without me?
I miss you. But I have been happy.
You too. You found a little, you know, you found a rhythm.
Found my little niche.
Yeah.
There. I still don't think I'll stay there forever.
Where are you looking at on the map?
I want to get back west towards the family. Uh-huh. Mainly because I spend all my vacation days traveling to see them, which is amazing that I get to do that. But I also like to travel.
And
I kind of want to do a few me trips.
Would you ever go to the Middle East?
Would I go to visit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of places?
Go
see what's going on in Palestine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think I'd like to do that.
Yeah. Some of the more dangerous places in the world.
Maybe not dangerous. Dangerous isn't really my thing.
Oh, like war-torn.
I'm really jumpy, so I don't know if I'd do so well there.
Yeah, maybe like some of the places with like the historical monuments and stuff.
That's more what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like get others.
You're thinking of
pyramids.
Yeah, I would love to go to the pyramids.
Right.
That'd be my favorite. You thinking of coming to Wales anytime soon?
Yeah. Yes.
We got some castles.
And you have the trampoline that I haven't forgotten
about. The trampoline,
And the world's longest zipline.
World's longest zipline, yeah. we have a, there's a trampoline place just around the corner from here.
Yeah.
That is great.
You've been?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Love it.
Did you go on a date?
I did not go on a date. I went on, I dragged two of my friends there.
Fun.
So I went twice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And now I have a membership.
Can you do a backflip?
I cannot. I tried.
Wait, you have a trampoline membership and you didn't tell me till just now?
Well, you haven't had time to...
We could have gone at 6 a.m.
That's why I didn't tell you. No. Don't tell you stuff that happens at 6 a.m.
Oh.
I tried a backflip like as soon as I got in there, and it didn't go well. I was in crippling pain for like a month because I landed, I like folded and then I landed with all my weight on my back. But I still jumped around. I still wanted to get my full hour's worth.
You have to.
But I was in crippling pain. And I didn't want to portray to my friend how much pain I was in. Because I dragged her to the trampolining and...
So it was a date?
No. She's just a pal of mine.
Okay.
Well, it was like a friend date.
A friend date. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
You have many... what's dating like in New York?
It's turned a new corner for me.
Mm-hmm.
It delivered.
Do you find dating in New York, maybe it's different because you were only in Montana for high school?
Well, I didn't even date anyone in high school.
You didn't date?
I had like one girlfriend in high school.
Right. Do you think it's easier in New York? Do you think like there's more people and stuff and the hustle and bustle? I find it easier here because there's more hustle and bustle than Wales.
I think it's easier to go on dates. I think it's probably a little bit more difficult to settle down.
There you go. That was the distinction I was just about to make, because the hustle and bustle, I think, kind of works against me sometimes. In that it's too, for someone like me who has ADHD, does that mean you're always looking around and stuff? ADD.
ADD.
What's ADHD? Oh, it doesn't matter.
I think one's adults and one's like adolescent.
Well, I'm the adult one.
Okay? You're the adult. Okay.
I'm an adult now. For someone with ADD like me, it's like, you know, it's like a girl comes along and then I'm like, okay. And then the next one. And then it's like, well, what, you know, how are you supposed
to... Too many options.
Yeah. How are you supposed to pick one and then be like, cause you got
to... You know how you're supposed to pick one?
Wow.
We need to get you to be... No, you need to be the bachelor.
That would be great. But I don't think they do bald bachelors.
That could be your thing.
And British bachelors, they only pick like celebrities, and I am not yet a celebrity. I'm hoping one day.
In the works.
But then if I'm a celebrity, surely I don't have to worry about dating so much.
I would hope. If they're getting celebrities to be on the show, that's clearly not the case.
yeah, and that's true. But they're more like kind of fame.
Wait, but I think probably it's even harder when you're a celebrity
to
find someone.
I mean, that's what some celebrities say, but also I don't believe them because they could just, you know, everyone knows they're a celebrity.
Well, but just think, we were just talking that the hustle makes it hard here because there's too many options.
Yeah.
And when you're a celebrity, you have even more options. Right? Because you got like that.
Yeah, but you also belong to like a celebrity world. It's almost like a members club.
Right.
Of like going to these parties and stuff. You're always getting invited to parties. That's one of the things I struggle with, getting invited to parties. People don't invite me places. And then...
Let's fix that.
Well, you can't invite me. Your parties are a long way away.
I'll invite you to them, though.
It's hard to, like... I think if I was a celebrity, you can go up to other celebrities. And you can be like... You always have an in. You can always be like, oh, I loved your work on Spider-Man or whatever. I imagine I'd be chatting up someone from Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're just seeing a stranger at a bar, what are you supposed to say? But presumably you don't struggle with that because you don't struggle with making friends.
I do love talking to strangers.
You would be able... You have the knack of being able to go up to a stranger and say something, whereas I can't do that.
I think it's because I'm genuinely curious.
Mm.
I think that's my problem.
I genuinely don't care.
I think that they might sense that on you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it's tough. But then, how do I find a wife if I don't care what any of these strangers' opinions?
Eventually, you'll cross someone who piques your interest enough.
Yeah, but then I've got to give her the time of day to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough to figure out what you're looking for in this life. What are you, you know, beyond your whatever you've got going on now, what in life are you, what do you see yourself in 10 years and with what kind of person?
I think, so my biggest thing is I, as you know, sometimes do too many things at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And
too many people at the same time.
Too many projects.
Too many projects at the same time. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I meant.
Yeah, me too. And so I always felt that in past relationships, I've gotten in trouble for not, for the person I'm dating, feeling like I'm not giving them enough attention.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I felt like I was giving them so much attention because
in the big
scheme, they were getting a good section of it, but it was divided probably in more ways than they realized or wanted it to be divided. So I always said I'm either going to find the person that can keep up, or I'll find the person I'm willing to slow down for.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I've thought about it, I don't think the slowing down thing is. I still think it's in me.
You don't feel like slowing down?
No, I think I'm like a shark. Like if I stop swimming, I think I will just die.
Is that what happens with sharks?
Yeah, they have to constantly keep swimming to keep the water
they'll die.
Going through their gills, and that's how they breathe.
No wonder they're so angry.
Yeah.
Swimming around all the time.
No breaks.
None. No breaks for coffee. So when you're like 70, mm-hmm. you're going to be like...
You know Grandma Bonnie?
Yeah, I do know. I was just thinking. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I just kind of... But to me, like the relaxation is the... enjoyable part of life, like when I just like the hustle and bustle is what I try and avoid,
and that's where I get my enjoyment. Relaxing stresses me out really. It's something I want to get better at because I think that I do believe that there is something important there.
You've done yoga.
That's so far been like my best into relaxation
because it's like half
because I'm fitness. Getting to do something, but
right.
But if I do feel like on a yoga mat, my brain quiets down the most than it does anywhere else during the day.
Have you tried proper meditation?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I've tried like I've been like a few times. Like, I'm going to start meditating, and then I'll do it for 1 minute at the foot of my bed and realize that my brain's there's too much happening.
I got into a great rhythm of meditating like a 2 years ago.
What's your process?
I used to lie down on the floor. What do you mean, like the actual?
Like, yeah, is it like, do you use the same system every time?
Yeah, it's called transcendental meditation. I don't know if I was doing it right, but I like lie down on the floor, like cover my eyes with tea bags. That's not part of the process, but I just added that in.
Is your personal touch?
Yeah.
Were they wet?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like not dripping, you know?
Okay.
And they haven't touched the milk.
Earl Grey?
Any, you know.
Green tea?
It can be, it's the ones that are round.
Oh.
As long as they're round.
Okay.
So they can sit on the eyes. So then, and then I play like an audio, and it goes, it's going to sound stupid.
Can you make the sounds?
Yeah. It goes, over and over. It's called a mantra, you know what a mantra is? So it's supposed to be the fact that it's bellowing the same thing over and over dulls your brain into a state of relaxation, which is supposed to take you to this kind of
place outside yourself.
Yeah, place outside yourself, which I found that it somewhat did, and it's supposed to be the same as like the same effects on your brain as like a power nap. It's supposed to be that rejuvenating for your brain.
Wow.
And I was in a great rhythm of doing that for like 20 minutes a day. But I moved to London and I just haven't had the time.
The hustle. Takes over.
Yeah, it really does. But I wish I could, because it really helped me. Like when I was, like 2 years ago, I was going through a bad patch, as you know.
Yeah.
And that really helped me dig my way out of it. For some reason, it sounds stupid that you're just lying on the floor and listening to a thing. But I didn't know why that was so helpful, but it really was.
Well, it was time for you to work on yourself. Even if you weren't actively doing that, I think just setting that time aside to reflect or to ponder or to just try to shut your brain off, you probably learned a lot about yourself and gathered the tools you needed to dig yourself out.
Yeah.
Or wasted enough time hearing a guy go make those noises at you that you realized your life really wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it is half like that, where it's like you're so, when you get outside yourself, you're like, you know, all your problems become very small. And like
perspective.
Yeah, you kind of, the idea, they're supposed to call it transcendental because it's supposed to feel like you're like in the sky looking down on your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of did, as stupid as it sounds, do that. And that really helped. I feel like kind of like, you know, make everything seem smaller, even when you're not meditating. It kind of lingers around of like, hey, you remember how small that problem actually is in the grand scheme of things. Because, you know, I think I have problems, and then I go home, I watch a murder documentary, and I think,
life's not too shabby.
At least my two children haven't been brutally murdered while I was sleeping.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Which happens.
Yeah.
Not in this country, but in your country,
I don't watch as many of those documentaries as you do.
It's just your country that has these kind of vicious murderers. Have you ever thought about, could you do like a, you know, that thing where you go and sit in a...
Oh, no, the sensory deprivation pods?
I think that would be great for you.
I would go... I can't even sit in my room... Like, if I'm in my apartment alone, I can't just be there. Like, that stresses me out.
But wouldn't you feel like you were doing something... You were seeing a new thing. You were having
being
a new experience.
Being trapped in my own brain, like, I think is what terrifies me.
How come, Kev? Why are you so scared of being alone with Kevin Grover?
I don't know.
What's wrong with Kevin Grover? I'm alone with him right now. I'm having a great time.
It's okay. I think, you know, I think a lot of it is I like called myself like a social leech before, where I steal my energy from other people around me.
Right.
And so if I'm stuck all alone, then I don't have those stimuli to respond to. And I think I thrive off of those.
Yeah.
So I probably should lock myself in a sensory deprivation pod.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm not saying that your way of doing stuff is bad, but I'm just thinking, you know, it'd be good for you to get the other side of it as well. Learn to appreciate relaxing.
Do you want me to report back after I do this?
I would love for you to do that. I haven't done one of these sensory.
But wait, can we do it at the same time?
Yeah, it's definitely on my list.
Okay. Pods here in London?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My housemate does it and he says it's amazing. He does it like once a month.
I had one friend that did it though, and she got so relaxed she fell asleep, but you're in water. And so she like ended up like rolling and like basically half, not drowning, but like thinking she was drowning because all of a sudden there's water in her face and she... You can't fall asleep, is I guess what I my
yeah.
Take
don't
away.
Fall asleep. Just yeah. Try and try and think about stuff. I guess.
Would you go in there like with a list of things to think about?
No. I think you're supposed to just let your mind kind of wander.
Okay.
Because it's supposed to be like you're floating around, right? Because the water is body temperature,
right?
So you can't feel the water. So it's like you're supposed to just be
just exist.
Yeah, just exist. Just sit there. And that's fine, right? That's all we're doing at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Or are you, because obviously you, another difference between America and Britain is that you guys believe in like fate and destiny and all that shit.
Well, I think you do get back what you put in.
Karma.
Yeah.
From some kind of, you know, overseeing body or just from the fact that positivity breeds more positivity.
A little bit of both. I think positive people tend to find other positive people and negative people attract negative people. And I think if you can surround yourself by those better influences, that good things will come from that. But I also believe that there's something.
Mm. And you believe higher. And you believe that evil murderers will get their comeuppance.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
I really hope so.
And so that 4 and 7-year-old that I was watching earlier that got brutally murdered in their home.
Did you watch this today?
Yeah.
Fresh.
They must have done some f***ed up shit, right?
No, I think they're probably innocent in this one.
They were, so bad stuff happens to good people as well.
Yeah.
And that's just...
Yeah, that's just life.
I know, whatever the overseeing thing is, they just kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then you gotta roll with the punches.
Well, like we talked about too, it's a little bit perspective. Like in that one, if you look at just that situation, but then if you, I guess, pull out and look at the big scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least the mother could say, "Hey, at least my 1-year-old wasn't murdered as well." Still got a 1-year-old.
Well, she does still have that. I think that's.
I mean, she won't have it for long.
I'm thinking like full. Like,
yeah.
I think good and bad things are happening everywhere, and I don't know what the full balance is, and if it is 50-50 or if we can push that scale higher.
I mean, she won't have the one-year-old for long because she's on death row. She's going to be killed any day soon.
Was she the one that killed the kids?
She was convicted of it, but she denies it to this day, 20 years later.
Yeah.
I like to think she's innocent.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some evidence that is contrary to that.
To that?
We'll see. We'll see if she is murdered by the state. Her name's Dali Routier.
And was that... You said this was in the States?
It was in Texas.
Texas.
Obviously.
Obviously how?
You been to Texas?
Once.
Was it, was like people shooting at you and stuff?
There was no, I don't think I saw a single...
I think our perception of Texas is that it's like wild country.
Right. Like Lone Star.
Yeah. That's another thing that's crazy about America. In England, you know, in the 1600s, 1700s, we're all walking around in suits and walking the cobblestone roads. Well, very rarely we shot each other. You know, we do.
Weren't there dueling rules here?
Only like, that's like a posh people thing. Whereas you guys just find a horse, you find a little pistol, you roll into...
There's rules too. There was rules in the Wild West. It was duel rules.
There were duel rules, yeah. But like, what about the outlaws? What about the Jesse Jameses and the Machine Gun Kellys?
And yeah, Calamity Jane.
Calamity Jane.
Wild Bill Hickok.
Yeah. What about those fellas? We didn't have those kinds of fellas. Well, we had Jack the Ripper, but he kind of had a specific.
And I don't know if were those guys all just doing bad for the sake of doing bad things, or were they? I feel like some of them were a bit more like Robin Hood-y.
They might have been. They might
like
have been.
Like trying to take from the man to give back to the people.
Maybe. Is that what they
were? Or maybe someone just did them wrong and they're trying to get retribution.
I think it was more like that they had like a family to like a crime family.
They grew up in it.
Yeah, and they kind of like gypsies, you know, where it's you know, I don't want to speak ill of gypsies because we have a lot of them here in Britain still, but maybe it's that thing where it's like they have an insular community and they're just trying to just...
Well, it's like the projects in the States, right?
Projects in the States, another good example.
Poverty breeds poverty unless people are given the opportunity to get out of it.
Yeah. And you have people like Bonnie and Clyde were Americans, right?
Yeah.
Ma Barker and the Barker Boys. Remember them?
Uh-uh.
So just some crime family.
Crime family?
You got a lot of crime is what I'm trying to say.
Lots of people.
Yeah. Lots of interesting crimes going on.
Yeah.
There's like stuff happening and you're like, what on earth has happened there?
No, it's kind of like scary turning on the news every morning.
Yeah.
You're never quite sure what you're going to get.
And you're not scared of, I asked you the other day, you're not scared of these mass shootings?
I think they're terrifying.
Are you always vigilant?
I do like to think I'm relatively self-aware.
Yeah.
And... I mean, I think you take a risk every day you walk out your door.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I don't think you can live your life in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So while I think they're devastating, and I think you should be cautious and conscious of what you're doing, I don't think you should not live your life.
Right.
Because then that's when they win, right? That's what they're trying to do. They want to instill that fear.
Yeah.
So that they have that control over everyone.
Mm.
And we can't give that to them.
That's true. But what's going on there? Because I think of America, like I said a minute ago, I think of America as like a Hallmark kind of family friendly. You know, everyone's nice to each other. We got people who stop at the side of the road to change tires and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So then how come you go from one end of the spectrum to the complete opposite end and people are shooting indiscriminately at their former co-workers in some office building?
So I've had like a similar discussion recently, and it was along the lines of like, why are there bad kids? Like, some kids are born and they're just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like, you could have a family that raises two kids and everything's the same, right? They're given the same life growing up, but one of them just always made the wrong decisions and the other one didn't.
Mm.
And maybe the other one didn't because they saw the wrong ones being made, or there are those influences happening too. But it is fascinating to me that, like, while I do want to believe that there is good in everyone, I can't deny the fact that some people are just bad.
Did you see that documentary about these people that met in university and they realized that they were twins?
Yes, the triplets.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you watch that?
I watched that one.
I haven't seen it, but my mom rang me up. Yeah, identical strangers. My mom rang me up raving about it, like, oh, it's the best documentary I've ever seen. And it turned out they were like some weird project to see how different people react in different upbringings.
It was a nature versus nurture test.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was like happening with a bunch of different twins and triplets.
Only in America. All operated by this,
like, I think it was operated like by a church. Like some scientist got like funding through a church. The Catholic Church.
What the hell?
I don't know if that came. Now I'm probably like speaking blasphemy.
What state was that?
It was in New York.
In New York?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
One of the boys grew up in Long Island. I think one grew up just upstate and one grew up in one of the boroughs, I think.
Wow.
Because they had to be geographically kind of in a similar area because the scientists had to go and do all these tests on them.
And am I right in thinking that one of them committed suicide?
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil the film for everyone.
Sorry. Yeah.
I'll give it a watch. It sounds fascinating.
I think you'd like it.
But are you, just to briefly go back to the shootings, are you always, nice to your coworkers and stuff? You always make sure that no one's ostracized in the office?
I think I do a pretty good job of that.
Because that's what I'm worried about. Like,
I'm like the team spirit captain.
Whoever I see is ostracized, I think I better go and say hello in case they shoot me one day. That's what I used to be very worried about in school.
That's like a good, like, protect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be good. Like you said, put positivity out there in the world.
Yeah.
Positivity will come back to you in the form of no shootings.
Yeah.
Maybe if that 4 and 7-year-old would have been nicer on the playground. No. God rest their souls. Do you want to listen? Do you want to listen to a song? A country song?
I'd love to listen to a country song.
It's an American, like an American thing, right?
Do I know who the artist is, do you think?
His name is Jake Owen.
Yeah, we love Jake Owen.
You know Jake Owen?
Yeah.
He came out with this song and played it on The Bachelorette tonight.
Ooh.
Jake Owen was on The Bachelorette.
Before we get into the song, were you happy with tonight's episode?
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, Luke P. and Luke S.
Wait, is this like the British Bachelorette?
No, the American one. Okay. The American one. Do you know? Have you seen the show?
My mom and sister are obsessed. As a family, we'd watch it growing up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, so you know the old ones.
I know the older ones more.
Can you name a lead that you can?
No.
The Bachelorette this year has fallen in love like straight away with this one guy called Luke P. But now it turns out that, like, very quickly it became obvious that Luke P is actually a psychopath. And he's, like, manipulating everyone. And, like, and today they played rugby and Luke P, like, got in a fight with Luke S.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The Battle of the Lukes.
And he's like, who would you put your money on?
Luke P is, like, this massive, like, bodybuilder guy. One that she's fallen in love with. It's, like, he's, like, you know. You can tell he's trouble, but she's like, you know.
She's into that.
Yeah, she's into it.
A little on the edge a little bit.
Yeah, and Luke S. looks like, you know, a small gust of wind would blow him over. But anyway, so now everyone hates Luke P. And then Luke P. lied to Hannah. Hannah's the bachelorette. Luke P. lied to Hannah about what happened. And so now everyone hates Luke P.
Did she catch him on it? Does she know he lied?
She hasn't caught him yet. But it was such a flagrant lie. Tonight.
You could smell it and see it.
Yeah. Because you can see it unfold. Like, he literally said one thing to the boys and then he went over it's the best. It's the best. My heart was racing.
Were you happy with the last season where the guy picked no one?
He picked someone. He didn't get engaged.
That was a crazy ending. When he jumped that wall.
Yeah.
And Chris is like running down the road hollering for him and the dogs are barking in the distance.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
And that episode was crazy.
That was a good
one. It kind of petered out after that because, like, there was no engagement or whatever. But then the season before that was even crazier because the guy picked someone and then he changed his mind. And
after he proposed? Did he propose?
Yeah. He proposed to Becca. Becca K.
Uh-huh.
There were two Beccas.
Yeah.
He proposed to Becca K. And then on the reunion show, he said, no, I've changed my mind. I'm going to propose to the runner-up. He's going to break up with his first choice on camera. Then he went back to the runner. He went running back to the runner up.
Do you think that was just like made for TV? Do you think that was really his heart?
I don't think
Did you ever watch Unreal, like the show about the producing of The Bachelor? It's like the behind the scenes.
No, I don't think I did. It's about The Bachelor specifically.
Yeah, but it's like a scripted. It's a scripted sitcom.
Oh, right.
Sitcom, I'm not maybe the right word, but a scripted show.
Right.
Where they like show the behind the scenes of like what the producers have to do to get the contestants to say the crazy things they do, and like the situations they create for them to be in to get the most reaction out of them.
I just can't imagine.
It changes how you see the show.
I just can't imagine anyone going to a guy and say, look, you have to propose to one girl on TV, then break up with her on TV, and then pick.
And here's a check for $100,000.
I just can't imagine him doing that.
No.
Although it has happened twice on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't.
Or are we just, as human beings, so fearful of commitment these days that they second guess themselves? They get buyer's remorse.
I think that's what it is more than anything. And he was in real estate. And I just think that the show is so crazy and it really does make you fall in love with more than one.
Well, you're living a fantasy.
Yeah, you're living a fantasy. And then especially when the fantasy is over, you kind of think, actually,
right,
that number two was smoking
hot. Now that we're not going on insane, extravagant,
now that that helicopter's landed, I can actually hear this girl. She's f***ing annoying.
Right. I still think you should be on The Bachelor.
I mean, I try.
It would solve all your problems. You think all these girls at the same time.
Well, first of all, I'd have to go on The Bachelorette.
Why can't you be The Bachelor?
They pick based on...
Oh, you have to now?
You have to be picked from the season before.
Okay.
You have to, like, be the most
earnest. So they get you on. You make you be the runner-up.
Yeah.
And then you get to be it.
Yeah. They pick the most heartbroken. I feel like on The Bachelorette, I could get to, like, sixth.
Oh, yeah.
But then the more classically...
Well, as soon as you have to meet the parents.
Yeah, that wouldn't go well for me.
You're good with moms.
Am I?
I think you're good with moms.
I don't think your mom liked me very much.
I think grandma liked you more than my mom did. Why did my mom not like you?
I can't remember. I think I won a round eventually because we had some beers together.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can be very loud and inconsiderate sometimes when I'm...
Well, I think that first night we all got a little crazy.
Maybe that was
at the hotel.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm often drunk when I meet people, and that's not conducive to a healthy relationship moving forward, you know?
All right, or a great first impression.
Less drink, more meditation chambers.
Yes.
Is the takeaway from this. And more that's country
the theme
songs.
That's the theme of our podcast.
Yeah. So this Jake Owen song is called... Don't know.
Water towers are made for hearts and names. Friday nights are made for football games. Falling leaves are made for falling in. Front porch steps are made for goodnight kissing. And I was made for you. Yeah, I was made for you. Summer jobs are made for spending cash. Second dates are made for going fast.
Yeah, that was Jake Owen.
Wait, they played this on the show tonight?
Yeah, what was the song called? Made for You. Right? Made for You. They played it on the show.
I'm trying to figure out the context that song would work on. Was it the first episode tonight?
No, it was like the fourth episode or something.
Okay. Was it like a one-on-one date?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay.
And then she says, like, I have one more surprise for you. And then they walk into the...
And Jake Owen sang it to them?
Yeah. Yeah. They go into like a theater and there's a bunch of 14-year-old girls screaming. And then he's on stage.
I have a artist that I want you to listen to.
Okay.
Old Dominion is the name of the band.
Old Dominion.
And they have some really good country songs. I love them.
You were just saying that kind of twang isn't your specific brand of country. You're more like arena and more northern country?
Yeah. I honestly, a bit more poppy country. I do enjoy these
days.
Like,
give me some...
Like, we love some Florida Georgia Line. Oh, you know who actually is one of the, I think, one of the best country artists right now? My roommate and I are obsessed with
Kevin?
Him. Who? Chris Stapleton. Are you familiar with him?
No.
I feel like I'd love for you to learn some of his songs because you're such a great singer. I think you could
Chris
pull off some
Stapleton.
Of those vocals. Yeah.
I'm going to try and think of the country songs I know. I know like 4 country songs.
Oh, you know, what about Zac Brown Band? Never, Chicken Fried?
Never heard of them. I know Thompson Square.
They're
right?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good band.
I know that song, Are You Gonna Kiss Me or Not?
Oh, I love that one. Who sings that one?
Thompson Square.
Oh, that's them. Okay.
The next song I know is Brett Eldridge.
Uh-huh.
You know
Which
that
one?
Guy?
Uh-huh.
Mean to Me. I like that song.
How's that one go?
If I could be trying to trick me into singing on the podcast. Yeah, I like that song. I feel like there's another one. I like that, you know, when Taylor Swift was still a country star.
Yeah.
She had that song, Picture Our Song.
Oh, Our Song, yeah.
You like that song?
Our song is a sandwich green door.
Yeah. Was that big in America? She was big in America before the Kanye thing?
Oh, yeah, she's huge.
Before the Kanye thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Kanye thing, I think, helped her transition to pop because she was also in part of like the holistic music conversation. She was a big country star.
I found the first song I ever heard of her was that song because I met some American girl on a cruise once. And then...
And that became your guys' song?
No, I really fancied her and then she added me on MySpace.
Ooh.
And that was her MySpace. You remember on MySpace, you go on there and a song plays.
I never had a MySpace.
Really?
I know.
Wow. Mr. Cool over here. Too cool for
MySpace. I just
have
never been... The technology stuff, I've never been great at. I've always been late to the game.
Did you have any... What did you...
I finally got a Facebook. And I remember aiming a little bit. We did some aiming.
Oh, right. Aiming. Yeah.
AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah. I wasn't on that, but we had our own British one.
My cousin Michelle made my first ever Facebook. I do remember that. She also... That was like when Was it Geopets? Neopets? Do you remember that game online where you like would like grow these creatures... You have to take care of them?
No.
No, okay. That was a weird flash.
I remember the farm one. The one where you have
Farmville?
To... Farmville, yeah. I was a big fan of that.
Yeah,
that was a good one. Growing your crops and stuff.
Yeah. And then your big parents learned about it, and all of a sudden they were, like, messaging you, like, trying to get extra help on their
farm. Well, my mom and dad aren't quite cool enough to have Facebooks, but...
Really?
Oh, yeah. They don't have Facebooks. They barely have a computer.
I feel like a lot of parents have it just, like, to see what their kids are doing.
Yeah, they. Whenever I go on the computer at home, I see that they've been snooping on my Twitter page and stuff like that.
Oh, so they have Twitter?
They don't have Twitter, but they go on my Twitter page to see if I'm swearing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you get called out if you do?
My mom sat me down a couple of months ago because I had tweeted something about pedophiles. And she was like, Ben, you know that pedophiles are bad. And I was like, yeah.
They are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, deserving of compassion, you think?
No.
No, we should just let them rot.
Here's where I struggle on that type of stuff, is I think everyone can do whatever the heck they want. Like, everyone is free to be themselves until it affects or harms someone negatively. Okay. Someone else.
So you would be in favor of pedophiles being given child sex robots? Sex robots in the shape of prepubescent children.
I'm still really uncomfortable with that.
That doesn't hurt anyone, does it?
Do you think they'd be satisfied by just a robot, and that it wouldn't potentially escalate to something more, and then wanting to have?
I just feel like
a relationship beyond what their sex bot could provide.
I just feel like them bottling it up is. Surely going to be more dangerous, right? You don't want the pot to boil over. You want them to be appeased in some way. That's what I think. But who am I? I'm just some guy that talks about pedophiles in every episode of his podcast.
Pedophiles, Hitler. What else? Murders have to be.
Hitler was not a pedophile.
Hitler.
Okay. Although Hitler liked to have women on his face, apparently.
How is that known?
Some American, it was like the FBI or someone, compiled a profile of Hitler and did some research. And that's what they came out with, that he likes to, there's a word for it, like to file or something. But yeah, that's what he liked, really, apparently.
Disgusting.
Well, if it's not hurting anyone, Kevin.
Yeah, not my thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's just...
It doesn't sound sanitary either.
I don't know. I mean, Hitler seemed to be, you know, he's running the country.
Can't you... Isn't that how you get pink eye? Like...
You would think...
Flakes, yeah, gets in your eye?
Yeah, maybe your body just kind of adjusts to, all right, this guy loves shit on his... Like, your body's just like, okay, our master likes on his face all the time.
Oh. Next topic?
Come on, who doesn't want to talk about Hitler?
Yeah.
No, there's a lot to talk about with Hitler. He's a fascinating guy. But you guys have your own Hitler now, right?
Or is that where you're comparing Trump to now?
Well, that's what he's thought of as, isn't it?
As a hyper-nationalist?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that how you think of him?
I just think he's gross. Here's where I struggle with him a lot, is I feel like the president of the United States is more than just... A governing role, right? They're also, in many ways, a kind of an icon and a role model for the country.
Okay.
So when you have a president who you can't respect at a personal level, it makes it very hard for me to evaluate him beyond that, because there's such a barrier there.
Okay, but was George Bush a role model?
I'm just saying, by nature of the presidency, you become that, right? It's someone that many people in the country all look up to.
Hmm. Right? So some people looked up to Bush at the time?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
All right. My nephew has some opinions about Trump.
He does.
I don't know if you would want to hear those.
I would love to hear them.
Okay.
Donald Trump is a mean man. Because when African people who have a war in their country want to live in America, he sends them out, and he only cares about American people. Also, during the election, one of my friends called Kian said that it would be a good thing if Donald Trump got elected, because he invented Top Trumps.
I don't think that's true.
Because he invented what?
Top Trumps. You know what Top Trumps are?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, you don't have Top Trumps? It's like a card game.
Oh.
I don't think he did invent those.
Okay.
But
isn't that funny how kids think that, like...
What the...
Right, they've associated both things are Trump, and so therefore the president... It would be cool if he was president, because now this game, everyone might get it.
Yeah, I guess that. I guess that's what he's thinking.
I have a kind of funny Trump story.
Oh, go on.
So there was a creative director that I worked with when I was working at TBWA.
Mm-hmm.
And... his daughter was like 3, I think, around the time that Trump was elected, and they woke up the morning after the election, and they're all having breakfast, and everything on the news obviously is that there's
not a pedophilic story, is it?
No, there's no pedophiles happening.
Good,
here.
Good. I'm trying to move away from
that. Oh, yeah, I will always move away from that, yes.
Hmm.
So, anyways, they're at breakfast, and the news is on, and obviously everyone, especially New York City, I mean, it was a complete shock. We live in a bubble, and it's a very liberal bubble, so I don't think anyone in our city ever had contemplated the possibility of him ever winning. So the kind of devastation and shock was very palpable the next day. And anyways, she's experiencing this. So she's sitting there watching the TV. Everyone's eating breakfast. She's eating her cereal. And all of a sudden it kind of sinks in that he won. And so she turns to her dad and she goes, "Dad, wait, the lady didn't win?"
Mm.
And her dad's like, "Well, no." And she's like, "Well, why didn't the lady win?"
It's a good question.
Great question.
Yeah.
And her dad's like, "How do I explain this to a 3-year-old? And trying to think of all the different ways he could break this down for her. And I was like, "Well, sweetie, like, more people wanted the other guy to win." And
not technically true, but
not for true, for this conversation.
Yeah.
I think that was a valiant effort. And she kind of contemplates on it a little bit more and goes, "No, Dad, I know why the guy won." And he's like, "What? Okay, why?" And she goes, "Everyone likes him because he's orange and that's cool."
That is cool.
So the fact that he was a Cheeto in this 3-year-old's mind made it all the more reason that this made sense, that Donald Trump became our president.
Maybe, right? Maybe. I know that in wrestling, you're expected to be as orange as possible.
In wrestling?
Yeah. If you're pale... you're not given a, you know, you're not given any TV time. You're looked at.
Oh, like WWE wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Why? What are the wrestling?
There's some pale wrestlers now.
Are there?
I don't watch that often.
That must be that gimmick.
They are. Yeah. They really lean into that.
They're pale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember in the 90s when everyone was tanned and they had like
the spray on.
Yeah, and like long blonde hair, like looked like beach bums, but they were like all 70.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, now they're like 70.
I miss those days.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of wrestling?
I've started to now because for irony reasons.
Do you play with your beard a lot?
Yeah.
I play with my beard so much.
Yeah.
Like kind of a gross amount.
Obviously, you've always had a bit of a beard. Oh, you've had a beard for like...
As long as you've known me.
Yeah.
Or ish. I guess no, that's not true. You knew me when I didn't have one. Senior year, I didn't have one when I first met you.
No, but you know, you dabbled, I think.
Yeah, I kept trying to grow one and one wasn't happening. And finally, one day...
But I remember that you grew one shortly thereafter. Yeah. Whereas I've only just got this beard. So I'm always like as a nervous tick.
Meetings, I just do this.
Yeah,
all
I always
time.
Comb it. It's probably going to be really bad for the mics. The mics are going to pick it up. But yeah, I'm always like twiddling with it. How do you maintain your beard?
I like put a little beard oil in there every once in a while, not every day, but I have some nice Montana beard oil.
And you go over it with a.
I don't use a comb or anything really.
What do you use?
Just my fingers.
What, to cut it?
What, to cut? Oh. No, every once in a while, I always have the barber do it, and then I never like what he does.
Right.
So I'm trying to do more of the maintenance myself.
Yeah, I don't like when the barber does it.
And I think I've gotten it pretty even right now. But this is hard.
Yeah, that's tough.
The under neck part is really hard.
I use a straight razor.
A straight razor?
Yeah.
Do you get ingrown hairs from the straight razor?
No, I tend to get them more from the
touching.
From the touching. But with the beard, I just go at it with scissors.
Go with scissors?
Yeah. I like to, as like a nervous tick, I like play with scissors. So I'm always just like, always just chopping away at it throughout the day.
Well, you managed to keep it pretty even for...
But like if I have a date or something, I'll like, you know, really look in the mirror for an hour and try and sculpt something.
A whole hour?
Well, you know, I'll look in the mirror for an hour and then the sculpting takes like... Maybe 2 minutes, 2:50. Yeah, you gotta groom, man. You do a lot of grooming?
I don't say I do a lot of grooming, but I think, yeah, it's important to stay well-groomed.
For the people you're going to meet.
Right.
So that
I appreciate it when other people do that, so I feel like it's nice to return the favor.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
No one wants a mouthful of hair.
But you care what people think of you?
Yeah.
To bring this podcast full circle.
I would say
you care. So you walk into the social situations and you want people to like you.
Yes. I think, I don't think I go into it with that mindset, but yeah, I think humans kind of innately all feel that way, right? We all want to be accepted.
I don't know. I think I'm kind of the opposite.
Yeah. Well, and like the gay scene in New York, honestly, is a little intense. Like everyone's kind of all
going up to each other and stuff.
Well, it's I don't want to call it judgy, but it's very, like, certain types of gays will only hang out with certain types of gays and to be part of those circles.
And what are the different types?
Well, and there's actually, I was talking to a friend the other day about this, about how, I think there's a documentary I need to watch, but how, like, gay people often kind of are oftentimes, like, in positions of success, but it's, like, this weird motivation that they've had to, like, prove themselves and climb the ladder and... And
you maybe, mean in their job?
In their job, and they're like, but kind of in every aspect of life. Like they want to be like the fittest person at the gym, or like the most successful person at work, or there's kind of this need to always overperform.
Yeah.
That maybe stems from people not fitting in as a kid because you knew something was different about you. But I never really, I still like to overachieve, but I just have always been a teacher's pet. So I think that's.
But you fit in school?
Yeah, I think I did. I did fit in. Pretty well.
I think I fit in okay.
Yeah. As much as you
school
can.
Is tough. School is hard. Yeah.
It's even harder now. Did you watch that awesome movie, Eighth Grade?
Eighth Grade, no.
Do you know the comedian Bo Burnham?
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Bo Burnham.
He directed it.
Oh, okay. I never had a watch.
He might have written it and directed it, but it's about a 13-year-old girl growing up in 2017, 2018, and how much harder it is now for kids. Social media.
Right?
Like, because if something devastating happened to us growing up in school, like, the small group of people that were there would know about it. But then that was it, right? And like maybe it'd be a topic of conversation at school for the next couple of days, but then it would die out. Whereas now when something bad happens and everyone has their phone out and captures it, all of a sudden the whole city knows.
Right.
Right? And then the I guess the size of the impact is so much greater than what we ever had to deal with.
Yeah, that's tough. That would be tough, man.
Yeah.
But then I guess in a way also, because part of the struggle of school is that when you're in school, you feel like your whole life is in school. You know what I mean? You feel like if something bad happens, that's why like these kids commit suicide is because they feel like if something bad happens in school, like that's their whole life. World. Yeah, their life is over. But if you know, social media has presumably made the world feel a little bit bigger. So that like, you know, if something bad happens, you can just go and talk to someone in
a chat room.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's kind of speaking to what we were saying with like increasing your perspective, right? Yeah. When you have the ability to empathize with something outside of your own situation, then you can rationalize, I guess, it better.
Right, right. And you're going to go home to New York now.
I don't have to fly out in like a few hours.
Flight's in a couple of hours.
Yeah. I don't want to leave, but I'll be back in like just over a month.
Back in a month.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to say you can go to New York and do some meditation and reflection in the chambers, but also we're not going to be doing much of that in a month. We won't really have time.
I can maybe try to commit to one session of that between now and then.
Between now and then, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll FaceTime. I'll bring my phone in there with me.
You think it doesn't that defeat the purpose?
Yeah, maybe.
Are we allowed to FaceTime throughout the whole process? I would way more enjoy that.
I can like point my phone at the pod. We can
like
do
like us like as we're like getting ready.
And then
go in together and...
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll come out and we'll talk about it.
How our life changed.
Visualize the unicorn or whatever.
I hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you plan on visualizing?
I'd love to see a unicorn. Yeah, that would be really fun.
Did I show you my unicorn video?
No.
I need to send you a unicorn.
Not a lot of people have unicorn videos.
It'll make sense when you see it.
Do you want to see a photo of my niece as a unicorn?
Yes. Beatrice?
For Christmas, I got her a unicorn onesie that she was pretty happy with.
I think everyone should have a unicorn onesie. She's the cutest thing in the whole world.
She said it was her favorite present. And I never get the favorite present comment.
Wow. She's living her best life there.
Yeah. And there's me. Another photo of me.
Was that your best present?
Yeah, I got a log.
A log?
Yeah.
Is it a log pillow?
Yeah, a log pillow.
Aww.
I like logs.
That's a nice sweater.
Thank you, sir. It's my Christmas sweater.
It's a great Christmas sweater.
You'll see it again jumper, one day,
right?
I'm sure.
I called it a jumper.
I was just trying to appease my American listeners as well.
Okay.
That's the end of the podcast. And the end of our time in London together.
Thanks for having me.
But it's been lovely to see you.
I can't wait to listen back.
And I'll see
every
you
night
again.
Before I go to bed.
Right, right, right.
The next month.
Yeah, I'll be listening to it when I edit it and stuff. I also like to listen to it at, you know, twice the speed. I find that fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. All our voices are chipmunk and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. But enjoy your flight back, and I'll see you in a month.
I can't wait.
Do you want to say goodbye to the folks at home?
Bye, folks at home.
Goodbye, folks at home.
I'm all alone every night. How I moan and how I fight those big city blues. I walk for miles, place to place, but no one smiles to help me chase those big city blues.